Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Predators head coach John Hines coming up at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. SEC Tournament Day 2 underway today. Tennessee and Ole Miss playing this afternoon. Vanderbilt and LSU in the nightcap tonight, so looking forward to that. And speaking of that, the college basketball tournament right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up to play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. You can go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app and sign up to play. Brackets will be open after the teams have been selected coming up this Sunday, so make sure you check that out at thegamenashville.com. Joe, we are less than a week away from NFL free agency, and the tampering period, I believe, opening up on Monday in the NFL. So we are right up against the doorstep of free agency beginning in the NFL. And a question that I have, and I think a lot of Titans fans have, is what exactly is the plan going to be in free agency? How active will the Titans be? How aggressive will they be in free agency? How much money are they willing to spend at several different positions of need that they have? And beyond all that, in my opinion, what's worth it out there? How much, what's actually worth spending out there in free agency, especially when it comes to the offensive line and the wide receiver position? So as we sit here today on March the 9th, a few days before the opening of NFL free agency, what's your best gauge of where the Titans are right now and what the plan could be when NFL free agency begins next week?
I think we'll see some what we will call bargain shopping. Like, I don't think what would be the big – well, we've talked about the big ticket items at receiver. You know, it's interesting. Mike from Gallatin called in earlier – or I'm sorry, Michelle. Mike from Gallatin called in earlier.
He's all over you.
Oh, double birds again. Double birds twice in one show. But he said Robert Woods was the – number one receiver? Is someone actually ranking
now?
That?
Look, I think,
or that's just AAV from last
AAV
year.
From last year. They'll go by position and they'll list who made the most money last year, and they'll be at the top of the list.
Okay, yes, because I was going to say, but then again, I'm looking at the list. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. You tell me.
Julio's
sitting there. It's a bad list. It is bad. Like awful, awful list. Now, if you want to talk about big ticket, could the Titans, we've talked about them this week, you know, could the Titans be interested in Orlando Brown?
Yep.
You're talking about 20, almost 27 years old. You're talking about $16.7 million last year. I mean, look at just the left tackle. By the way, you know, the Bucs did release Donovan Smith yesterday. So there's another one. Now, if you want to go by the listing of left tackles on SpotTrack, the guy right between them is one Taylor Lewan. But go through that list. It's, Jason Peters, he's only 41. You know, it's slim pickings. Now, I do think that
Mike Munchak busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike,
you talking about to coach offensive line or
come play?
Yeah, sure. There you go. I do think that the McGlinchey's good, and I think it's not crazy expensive, but he is a right tackle.
Yes.
So there's, you know, some of what we see next week could potentially also tell us what they actually think about players on their current roster. Nicholas Petitfrere being one of those guys. Is Nicholas Petitfrere better as a left tackle? I don't know. He had to switch around. Dylan Radins has told us what that's like, switching from one side to the other. You know, off the tackle, he was a good left tackle at Ohio State. Is he better? Is he the Titans' long-term answer at left tackle?
Oh, man. They may believe that. I don't know. I think that'd be a heck of a risky move to make.
You drafted him
last year, and you thought that he wasn't a left tackle, so you put him at right tackle. So you drafted him to be your right tackle.
Well, now, granted, but remember, though, I mean, Taylor Lewan is your left tackle last year.
You had Taylor Lewan as your left tackle for a game and a quarter.
Yeah.
And then you never made the move to bring him over there.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's the idea of, like, don't weaken two positions, blah, blah, blah. I guess I could make the case for that. And, like, you went through all of camp. He won the job. He's a right tackle now. Why are you going to flip the rookie over there right now? But the way things worked out with Daly, there's a lot of things you probably should have tried earlier than they did. I'm with you. I think Nicholas Petit-Frere is our starting right tackle next year. I think that's the most likely scenario. But if that's the case, are you going big ticket left tackle or are you going draft for left tackle? You'd rather go draft for everything. You're going to have to go draft for receiver, draft and maybe trade, but draft. I think you have to go draft for multiple offensive linemen. I think you have to go draft for edge. And if you can sneak in a corner, maybe a safety, that wouldn't hurt too. Maybe an inside linebacker too.
Running out of picks,
right. I mean, do you have 17 draft picks? Because that would be good.
Well, that's the other part of this. Like Nate Davis, I would assume. I mean, it doesn't have to be done by now. I mean, they could get into free agency and he could end up re-signing with the Titans. But like, I would expect that he's probably gone if he gets to free agency. And then there's the David Long Jr. part of this too. I think you and I both agree that we think he's pretty important to this defense, and I realize the injury history. I don't know what David Long Jr. is asking for in terms of his number on his contract, but if it's a reasonable number, if I'm a Titans fan, I'd probably like to see David Long Jr. back in there, but here we are, less than a week away from free agency, and that's not been determined as of yet. Or maybe it has, that he's not coming back. I don't know.
Yeah, we've talked today about some of the lower ticket. There's a report out there, Justin M. from Draft Network talking about Titans talking to DeMarcus Walker. That makes sense. NWI coming back, I think so. Dontrell Hilliard, I think so. So those are some of those guys like that. I'm not surprised if they move on from Nate Davis. I mean, you can make the case to re-sign Nate Davis, but given the way things have gone with injuries and performance, I think it's a spot where you could make the case, okay, let's go younger and cheaper. But David Long Jr. to me is I can't believe they would not want to re-sign him. I can't believe Vrabel would not want to re-sign David Long Jr. given what he has done for this defense and how he has grown as a player the last couple of years.
Well,
other than the injury.
Well, the injuries are part of it, but it's my bigger point of that is like, well, let's say the injuries are just too much and you can't get over it and you don't want to pay him. Okay. I guess I can at least understand that thought process, but what are you doing at inside linebacker? Like, are you rolling with Monty Rice and Chance Campbell or Monty Rice and Dylan Cole? Because look, those guys are good stories. Like Dylan Cole, Dr. Gibbons. All those guys are good stories. And yeah, you know, and the Monty Rice part of this is separate. But like the Dylan Coles and the Chance Campbells and all these different things, they're good stories. Remember, Campbell got hurt last year.
I will say that Campbell has some promise.
He does. But he got hurt last year, so we'll see what happens. But like that's a heck of a risk to take of not really having a big playmaker at the inside linebacker spot. I mean, we knew Cunningham was gone. But like David Long Jr. is a magnet to the football.
Yeah.
None of those other guys that I've seen are like that.
No. Coverage, everything. He's gotten so much better. And I just think he's also an emotional leader out there on the field. I think there's a lot of value. Some people would look at that and say, see, that's a position where you go cheap. And I get that idea. That's the same thing people say about running back. But yep. I think when you have a really good player at any position, that's good. That makes you better as a football team. So I will be surprised if they don't try to re-sign him. And like you said, if they don't, well, that's a decision to me where you're trying to make the puzzle work and you're going to invest more somewhere else. So maybe that is the idea, is that, look, we have to put X amount into this, so that's just a sacrifice you have to take, and he has had a lot of soft tissue injuries.
Well, the bottom line is the Titans, I think at the moment, they have 6 draft picks. They have 6 available selections to them in the draft this year, which is, I mean, it's not a ton. Now, is there a way you could trade back and get more picks? Maybe, but like I heard that idea get thrown out yesterday of like, could the Titans trade their first-round pick and move back to get more picks in the second and third rounds? I mean, you could. Number one, it takes somebody to be willing to move up to 11. And number two, like, don't you also need, like, you need talent on your roster, right? Like, you need, like, if you got somebody that you really like at number 11 overall, you got to, I understand the idea of wanting more picks. I also want good players. Like, that's what I want more than anything out of a draft is good players. So if it's in the first round, like, I understand the idea of trading back to get more picks, but maybe just go get the good player in the first round.
Right. And that, again, that may be just what you have to do because no one wants your pick. So, yeah, it's – so I've – okay, so I don't look at PFF. I've been told PFF is projecting $15.5 million a season for McGlinchey. Really? And long $13.75 a year.
Well, see,
This is why I don't. This is why I don't look at PFF.
He's not making $13.75 a year,
right? I mean, if he can get that, then
more power to you.
Good
man.
Luck to you,
we'll
sir.
See. Yeah, I'd be stunned if he got that.
I mean, I was expecting David Long to get about like six a year. What am I? There's a big disparity between PFF and me on salary projections.
We'll have more on the Titans coming
no
up next.
No one's paying him that, right?
I would be stunned. 615-737-1025. What should the Titans' plan be in free agency? We'll continue that conversation coming up next. You're listening to 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got a pair of two-day passes to the sold-out Moon River Festival on the banks of the Tennessee River in Chattanooga coming up on September 9th and September 10th to give away performances by Goodbye Road, Nickel Creek, Marcus King Band, Judah and the Lion, and more. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of two-day passes to the Moon River Festival coming up in Chattanooga September 9th and September 10th. 615-737-1025. 1025. Liam on the text line, Joe, says, we need to identify the Tanner Janot of the Titans and also the Ron Hextall of the NFL. That would be ideal if you're the Titans. Get a lot of picks back that way.
Jeff Swaim and Bill Belichick.
I feel like David Long Jr. is the Tanner Janot.
Maybe.
Of course, he's a free agent. But it's amazing to think about David Long Jr. Go back a year, like all of mock draft land didn't realize there was a second David Long Jr. in the NFL and was mocking a linebacker of the Titans, and now PFF has him like having the biggest deal in linebacker history.
Yes. Good gracious.
$14 million a year. He's not getting that.
No.
I hope he does. That's awesome.
Good for him.
Because David Long Jr., you know, we focus on the big deal. Like we focus on the Bud Dupree deals and living up to the deal. David Long Jr. has been one hell of a – he's the UC Soros of the Titans. What he's done for this team for like a mil or whatever he made last year, like 900K or whatever. Yeah, talk about a bargain. Even when hurt.
Josh from Spring Hill on the text line says, I have to give Rand Carthon some grace for this offseason because of the cap situation he's walked into. Joe's word puzzle is a good one. There's a puzzle here that just doesn't all fit together at this moment. There's no GM magic wand, just time, a forward-minded plan, and one good decision after another. This is from Josh from Spring Hill on the text line. It is it's an interesting situation that Rand Carthon is walking into. But that's the thing. Like, to your point yesterday, there's not really been a declared plan yet, and we're going to begin to find out what that answer is next week when free agency opens up.
And to your point there, Josh, good text. That's kind of the case also for this can't be fixed in one offseason, so what's the two-year plan?
Right.
And if there is a two-year plan, then it does involve, to me, looking at the next quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I said this earlier. If you're trying to be competitive next year, and Tannehill's coming back, and Henry's coming back, and you're doing what you can to upgrade the offensive line, although as we've discussed, that's going to be really hard to do in one offseason. Like, the receiver part of this is still the part where I look around and I say, yeah, you know, free agency, the group of receivers doesn't really do it for me. I'm not saying you can't go sign one, but none of those guys are game-changing receivers. Depending on who you ask about the receivers in the draft this year, like, there's no, like, overly special guy that I think the Titans are going to be able to go get. Now, look, you know, Quentin Johnson may turn out to be really good. Smith and Jigba may turn out to be really good. I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens with those guys, but you're talking about a rookie receiver coming in and you're expecting them to be a number one option for you. I mean, we saw how that sometimes works last year with Treylon Burks. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to try to be good and you're going to try to compete and win the division, get back in the playoffs next year, to me, you got to make a trade at wide receiver. Like, you got to bring a wide receiver in that is a proven commodity in the NFL that right now your roster just doesn't have. And beyond that, I don't know that there's anything I'd feel great about at wide receiver that the Titans can do, in especially in free agency coming up next week.
Is there any? So we've talked about Higgins. Forget that. Evans is the best example that I can think of, to your point, of a team that is absolute. I mean, again, we just talked about last segment. They just cut their left tackle. They are they're going to talk up Kyle Trask all the way to 2-15, baby.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, and they're going to go try to get Caleb Williams, so if that's the case, would they not be interested in draft capital for Mike Evans?
You would think. I mean, that would be something that, I mean, Charles Robinson has said it on our show that he expects Mike Evans to be available this offseason. So maybe that's an option. I mean, we've had a lot of people text in about DeAndre Hopkins. We've talked about that. I mean, he's older now and he's been injured. And
low cost.
It's low cost.
If it's low cost.
Right. But, you know, I don't know. Is there somebody else that could end up being available out there?
Someone who's not super old.
Someone who's not super old and, you know, is currently. I mean, look, fast forward or flash back to this time a year ago, and I know we keep bringing up A.J. Brown until we're blue in the face, but was there a single person on the earth that thought at this point last year that A.J. Brown was going to get traded?
Yeah, Philly Sports Talk at this time was like, well, I think A.J. Brown's looking pretty good for the Eagles next year. Yeah. The birds are getting brown.
Right.
Yeah, no one was saying that. Who might be out there? It's no one's immediately coming to mind. Actually, the Jaguars have a surplus of good receivers now that Calvin Ridley's available.
They do.
Don't think they're going to help you out.
They don't make any deals with the Titans. Dylan says, the irony of needing to trade for a wide receiver after trading away a proven wide receiver in his prime.
Oh, there's
why
no
you
doubt.
Don't do that.
It's not lost on us.
It is not lost on us at all. That's why you don't do that. I'm just saying, like, there's so much to fix. And I brought it up. They got six draft picks. I mean, you got six picks and you got free agency. And you're going to have to fix maybe an entire offensive line or close to it, a wide receiving core that you and I both agreed needs at least two more pieces, an edge rusher. You know, that's a whole lot of stuff coming to mind that you got to fix that right now I don't think you have the capability of doing that all in one offseason.
Inside linebacker. Okay, let me real quick on that. Okay, so here's some of the top contracts right now. Roquan Smith at 20 a year, okay, which is a lot.
That's a lot of money.
You got like Shaq Thompson's 13.5. Lavonte David's 12.5. Matt Milano's 10. Kendrick's 10.
David Long Jr.'s not making that.
It's like Devin White makes 7.3. Miles Jack at 8. First of all, Devin White's actually underpaid. But is he in there? Is he in there? DeMario Davis, $9 million.
He's not worth double digits. To me.
I agree. But again, get it, man. If you can get it, get it.
Yeah.
But if you're the Titans, the Titans and you look at this market and you look at him and whatever, you know, we don't know exactly what they think of him. I think they have to like him. Gosh, he's been so good.
But the other part of this with him is it's got to either be a deal and a relatively long-term deal, because you can't tag him. Like, you can't franchise tag David Long Jr. because he's a linebacker, and that goes in with the outside linebacker.
Edges count there, too. That's a huge number, right? If you're the Titans and you do want to try to make a deal, what deal would you offer to him that he might actually consider staying here? I mean, look, you can always make the case to a player, you do fit this defense really well. You know, this is where you excel.
I mean, you can. Like,
if somebody wants to give him the bag, give him the bag.
Like, it's
sure.
And his job is to go find the football. Like, it's you can do that in any defense. But that's also why that exact scenario is why the position isn't as valuable anymore, right? Because people feel like they can find middle linebackers for cheap.
To me, if a really good football player,
I agree.
At that position too, he's worth it. Okay, so I'll offer him 3.27. 3 years, 27, which is more than I would have guessed he would have made.
I mean, you got to keep in mind, what did Zach Cunningham make last year? $10 million? Close to it?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say David Long Jr. is worth that.
Yeah, now granted, now that was based on what Cunningham was at his peak in Houston, which was very good.
It was good.
Until it wasn't.
Right. And that's – I don't know. Like somebody asked earlier on the text line, you know, bringing up the Vrabel, are you a blister or are you a callous comment? Like I don't know. Like maybe Vrabel – I mean, ultimately, I think you and I would agree, his opinion on this is what really matters.
Yeah.
Like – maybe Vrabel looks at him and says, he just gets hurt too much. I don't want him on my team. Like that very well could be it. I don't know. Maybe he looks at Nate Davis the same way. Like,
I Nate thought Davis, was, has, it has affected his performance, though, and it hasn't affected David Long's performance.
It hasn't, but, I mean, he's missed a lot of games the last 2 years. I mean, Vrabel could very easily look at this and say, you know what, it's not worth paying that amount of money to a guy that can't stay healthy. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So, but if that's the case, they must really like Chance Campbell.
You
right?
would think so. But, I mean.
They must really think they've got something there.
But he just got hurt.
Well, I know. But that's just one injury, which kept him out the whole season.
I know.
Good times.
It's just, I don't know. If it's not David Long Jr., I'd be interested to see what their plan is. Like, you know, Monty Rice, a third-round pick. Now, he's barely been available.
He's certainly. I've assumed all along, re-sign David Long, him and Monty Rice, that's it. And then you've got Cole, you got depth. Campbell, depth.
Right.
So Monty Rice has to be a starter and has to be good next year.
Right. Now, how could you have really
Will
one,
he be? I don't
one
know.
Opinion of that? I mean, Vrabel would know better than us, obviously, but he's barely played at inside linebacker. So.
I did think that late last year you started to see it a little bit with him.
Yeah.
But you got to see a lot more.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. Looking forward to that conversation with him. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in today and tomorrow for the SEC Men's Tournament updates on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Toyota. Buy at Toyota.com. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach, John Hines. John, good morning. Do you know where you are, what time zone you're in, all of those things? It's been quite the road trip for you guys so far.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. We're out in Arizona. Yeah, it's beautiful morning, but you're right. I think we've done every time zone in 6 days, I believe. So it's been a good road trip, but it's certainly been challenging from that standpoint.
Yep, no question about it. So, John, obviously from the travel standpoint, from the changes in your room standpoint over the past week and a half, it's been a challenging time for your group, but the on-the-ice results have been good. What do you make of the way that – your team has responded to all of the different changes that have been made over the past couple of weeks?
Well, it's been really good. I mean, it obviously from the last time we were out here in Arizona right through, you know, I think it was like maybe a 10-day period there with the week leading up to the trade deadline was a little bit chaotic for us. But, you know, we tried to really stay on task. You know, the guys, the young players that have come up, you know, have done a good job. I think they're hungry. They've brought a different energy to our team. So they're talented guys. They're hungry. They work hard. They work consistently. And then I think the older guys that have, you know, been in the lineup here with us and have been with us every day have certainly done a good job, I think, of helping those guys along and maintaining the message and the mission that we're on. So it's been a really good combination of some good leadership by the veterans that have been in the lineup. And I think in influx of younger guys that are talented guys, but they're hungry and they're driven and they're making the best of their opportunities. So it's been fun. It's been a fun couple of weeks, challenging but fun.
With the veterans in particular, John, do you detect any, I guess, weight lifted off shoulders, relief of pressure, that sort of dynamic since the trading deadline?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think those guys are, I think every, you know, the younger guys don't necessarily feel it, but I think the older players on the team do. So I think there was a little bit of a sense of just relief, but also like this is our group and this is our team and we got to continue to move forward. And I think it's been, I think they've done a good job of getting through that, staying focused during that whole process, but now also continuing that, which was, you know, important moving forward. That was something that we talked with them about, after the deadline when we had the Chicago game, was we can't have a letdown now. We can't take a breath because it's, you know, we're through the trade deadline. Like we want to, what is our goal? What are we trying to accomplish here, continue to accomplish here? And that's the message we stayed on. But, you know, you can have the message, but you got to have action behind it. And we've certainly had the action behind what our message and what's driving our team.
John, we've had a lot of conversations about Luke Evangelista here on the show, and obviously he's been really impressive since you guys have recalled him. I know that physically there's probably still some room for development there, but overall, just what have been your impressions of Luke Evangelista and the job that he's done with you all to this point?
Yeah, Luke's played really well. I think the big thing for him is going to be continued, like his physical development. But why he's able to offset that right now is there's really two things. He's a really smart player. He's got great instincts. He can play. He can pay attention to details of your structure and system, but he also has great instincts. Like, he's one of these guys that can combine. He can play with attention to detail, but he also can play the game. And the other thing is he's a fearless player. Like, he plays in the hard areas. He'll take hits to make plays. He'll get to the scoring areas. That's been really impressive with me. Even where he's not as physically, he's not a physically dominant player right now, but he's just really smart, fearless, and he's been very consistent. So I think the future looks really. But like, when you combine those combinations into the player, when he has both of those things, and he continues to push forward the right way, he's going to be a really, really good player. And he's
right now. Has that progressed, those elements, from like watching him in training camp to through what he did in Milwaukee to now? Like, have you seen a jump from him through that time in Milwaukee?
I think he's the big question coming in with him was going to be his physical, how is he going to handle pro hockey physically? And then the second part was going to be, his ability to play without the puck was just, does he have the attention to detail? Does he value that part of the game? Because he always was an offensive player, and he's going to be able to do that at any level. So he's taken steps in those areas. And the one thing we want to make sure too is he's had a great, he's a young guy and he's a young player. And right now he's playing some really good hockey, and we're going to continue to do it. To work with him and give him the ice time that he certainly deserves at this point. But there is a growth process. You've seen it even with guys like, Parsonen and Tomasino and a lot of these guys that come up. You want to make sure that you're continuing to try to put them in good positions where they can continue to succeed. And as long as he continues to play the way that he plays, then, he's going to continue to earn the opportunities that he gets. But for us also, you don't want to push it too long if he does start to struggle. And that's something that we've talked internally with Barry and David about, just making sure that we manage him the right way. And so far, he certainly deserves everything he's getting.
Predators head coach John Hines with us here on Robbie and Rexrow. John, what has Tyson Barry brought to your group in the short time that he's been with you, and how important is it, I guess, to have another offensive option back there on the blue line?
Tyson's been a great addition. He's a veteran player, but he has a great personality. I think he's got a way about him where he can come in. He kind of lights up the room. He commands the room. He's got, he's really fit in well with our team. On the ice, he brings a different element for us. I mean, the way that he can move the puck, he's got great poise and execution. He's a good puck-moving defenseman. A big dynamic of what he can do on the offensive blue line. He's really mobile, great vision, great poise. He's similar. He brings you a right shot element that's similar to Roman in the sense that he's a good skater. He can make plays that others can't. He's got a great shot. His shot gets through. So he's a dual threat. He could get shots through on his own because he's got a good one, and he can find lanes. But then if that shuts down on him, he's going to make the next play that opens up someone else. And he looks really good on the power play. He's going to come in and he's going to make it challenging on us as coaches too when people get back, like who's going to be on what unit, because he's certainly a dynamic up top on the offensive blue line on the power play.
John, how has Ryan McDonough, I guess, ascended? We know he's been a leader in this league, a champion and all that, but how has he kind of ascended to a leadership role this year?
I think it's happened. I think what's gone on, to be honest with you, Joe, has helped that a little bit. He's a he's accomplished so much in his career, and he's a great veteran guy. But you come in sometimes too with a veteran laden team. As a newer guy, sometimes you're trying to find your way around the room a little bit and get where's your voice and see how the dynamics go. So I think over the course of time, it's naturally been easier for him to kind of understand, you know, where he goes in, when to say things, when not to say things. But I think now with a lot of the transition and now putting an A on his jersey, you know, I think that it's, and there's more younger players here. Now he's kind of the, you know, he's always been the veteran, but he's been here longer than a lot of these other guys that have been on our team, that I think it's just naturally, you know, helped him, you know, step up and he's always had a voice on the team, since he's gotten here, but I think now he has a much stronger voice.
John, where is Philip Forsberg at in terms of his process to try to get back out there and play? How close do you think he could be to a return for you guys?
Phil was really close about five, six days ago. But he's kind of stagnated a little bit right now. So I would say it's more than day-to-day right now.
Predators head coach John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. John, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck coming up tonight against Arizona, and looking forward to seeing you back at home here in a few days after this long road trip. Thanks for being with us.
All right, sounds good. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Predators head coach John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. That did not sound great for Philip Forsberg there.
No, stagnate. And injuries, like, has it ever been actually talked about? I know in this league it typically isn't.
Well, it's, I mean, the thing that stood out to me there was he said, you know, Philip Forsberg's been day-to-day, and that was February 11th was the last time that he played. And that was in Philadelphia. And he just said there, I would say he's more than day-to-day at this point. That doesn't sound good.
Right. Right. And again, for people who don't know, I mean, he took a shot to the head.
Right.
So and that stuff
can linger.
As I think anybody who follows sports now knows, it can linger.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the game tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it's that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Arizona Coyotes on the road. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. I'm still in first place with 14 correct answers, although I've hit a dry spell lately, and it's not been going well for me.
So I like it.
The competition has gotten closer. The listeners with 12. Joe Rex Road on the board again the other night, so he's moved up to 11 correct answers. Michelle Knezvik with 7. On the season. So competition is tightening up a little bit. No pun intended.
So to speak. Wait, doesn't that give me 12?
It gives you 11. Hmm. That's what happens after 10.
I thought I had 11 already.
Okay.
Fine. Sure.
With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dave, today's participant. Dave, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, guys, I just want to say, normally I disagree with everything that comes out of either side of Stillman's mouth. But that's not why I called. I called to say Duchesne gets it done tonight.
There we go. Dave, appreciate you calling in. So Matt Duchesne, the selection from Dave on the phone line.
Nice job getting a shot in on Stillman,
too.
That
was nice. I did not expect that to happen, but there we go. My selection is – this is tough. Do I go with the kid? Do I go with the captain? I'm going with the captain. Give me Roman Josi in the competition. So Duchesne on the board, or Duchesne off the board, Josi off the board. Joe Rexroad, you're up next. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
All right, I'll go with the kid, Evangelista, again.
With Luke Evangelista, who scored twice in the previous game. So there's that. And Michelle has just texted in her pick.
She go?
I guess she went to the arena. It is Tyson Berry. Right. The selection from Michelle. So Duchesne, Josi, Evangelista, and Tyson Berry This election's in Preds Pick to Click, presented by T.J. Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports.
I believe that's the first time Tyson Berry has ever been mentioned in Preds Pick to Click.
I picked him literally the last time we did this.
Oh, okay. I believe that's the second time Tyson Berry has ever been mentioned.
And then Luke Evangelista stole a goal away from him by redirecting it in front of the net.
That's right, he did. Things are going great.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate that. I'm interested to see. Look, again, I know people, the playoff race part of this, people have kind of like punted on if you're a Predators fan. But I will say, Winnipeg lost again last night, and the Predators now have four games in hand on the Jets, who hold the last wild card spot, and they are only 6 points back. So they have the Coyotes tonight. They have the Kings Saturday, Anaheim Sunday, Detroit next week, Chicago next week. There's a lot of winnable games coming up before next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, a showdown with Winnipeg at Bridgestone.
Like, showdown.
That game, in all seriousness, like that game, that could mean a lot. If the Predators take care of business against teams that are not very good coming up the next week or two, like that Winnipeg game could be important.
Could be. I forgot to ask John Hines, have you considered getting into the Connor Bedard sweepstakes? Have you considered bleeping the bed for Bedard?
I don't know that that's at top of the list of concerns for John Hines right
now. I think John Hines is going to be diametrically opposed to any Preds fans who want them to tank out right now. Yes. That would not be what John Hines would be looking to do.
No,
they're in position to make it interesting. And he pretty quickly answered affirmatively on the release of pressure on the veterans. It's not just – it's young guys. Remember, it was not the same thing 2 years ago because, like, they didn't sell at the deadline, but they did have kind of, like, young guys who were, you know, Janot and Tolvanen and some of these guys were coming on, and I think it kind of helped, you know, the veterans, and they all kind of took off together. And in this case, you got some really young guys who wouldn't be up here otherwise who have talent, and I do think that the release of pressure from the veterans who are remaining on this roster has to be pretty significant right now.
Make sure you join us at 102.5 The Game, live from the Rusty Nail on Friday, March 17th for the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts while this thing says beer drafts. It's draft beers, people. Enjoy $3 draft beers. That would be better.
Beer drafts?
Although maybe you're drafting a beer. Who knows? While watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. It's the Rusty Nail, located in Hermitage, and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts, plus great drinks and great food, especially the wings. That's 102.5 The Game, live at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage on Friday, March 17th. Doors will open at 10 a.m. The SEC tournament day number 2 underway today. Joe Rexroad, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt playing later. Tennessee's case later this afternoon. Vanderbilt the nightcap tonight. What do you need to see from Tennessee today beyond the obvious of the win against Ole Miss to give you confidence in them moving forward?
Yeah, we'll get the win. It'll probably be a grinder against Ole Miss. Get the win. Get to tomorrow. Get a chance at Missouri tomorrow. And I think if you avoid the bad loss, I think you're in good shape to get a 3-seed, and I think then you'll be in Greensboro, North Carolina, next weekend. So that's the key. But I'm looking for them to just play to your strengths. We know that they're going to defend and rebound, but get the ball inside, drive the ball, get to the line. Don't take early, out-of-rhythm launches that sometimes this team gets into trouble doing. And also, don't have bad turnovers. If you avoid bad turnovers and avoid just the bad shot selection, then you'll win this game, and you could win a few games in Nashville this weekend.
Well, then on the Vanderbilt side of things, you've got LSU. Now, Vanderbilt should beat LSU, but LSU did take them down a few weeks ago. So this is obviously a must-win game for Vanderbilt. If you want to have any conversation about getting in the NCAA tournament, you got to win this one tonight if you're Vanderbilt, and then we'll see from there. But interested to see how Vanderbilt responds tonight in a game that – they've absolutely got to have.
Yeah, that loss. One thing that happened in that loss, Quentin Melora-Brown yesterday, by the way, announced that he's coming back next year, which is a big deal for Vanderbilt. He is, has been there, been a really solid five-man, and obviously Liam Robbins overtook that spot and became a dominant player. But in the loss to LSU, Liam Robbins not in a comfortable position, having to come out on K.J. Williams, who was hitting three after three, And that's a spot that Quentin Melora-Brown is, he's more comfortable. He's a little bit better in ball screen coverages, a little bit better with the lateral quickness and against face-up bigs and outside shooting bigs. So from a matchup perspective, actually, it works out okay for Vanderbilt. But they have to win today, and it would be a very fun day tomorrow if we're talking about Tennessee, Missouri, and Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
Headlines from today's program. Joe Rexroth says that Vanderbilt is better without Liam Robbins.
Thank you.
And that the offensive weaponry of Jeff Swaim and Racing McMath really going to lead the Titans to promised land next year. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's been a great day on the
program. Tweet them out. Right? Tweet them out along with that picture of me with a Len Dawson cigarette in the mouth.
We'll see what happens on the Aaron Rodgers front today. Apparently, according to the Jets, Diana Rossini put it out there that the meeting went well with he and Woody Johnson, and now I guess the ball is in Aaron Rodgers' court. So maybe today. Maybe tomorrow, like at some point.
It would be so nice to get that over
with, awesome,
wouldn't it be?
From Aaron Rodgers. Like, it would be, it'd be cool if that
could
happen.
You're ready. You're ready to move on. I can see it.
Yeah, bring me Jordan Love. I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's just see what happens.
Another headline. Jordan Love era embraced by Packer Nation.
Leading the Packers to the Super Bowl. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroth. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.